97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right. Good morning to you. Welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show. Happy that you're here with us. It's a Tuesday morning. It is, let's see, the 12th day of November as we move along here. And I'm glad that hope you all enjoyed your Veterans Day. Maybe some of you got a 3-day weekend. I was a little surprised more kids weren't off school yesterday. I guess I got to tell you that.
Were any kids off school?
I don't know, but like we were off work yesterday. I was surprised that our company recognized that holiday and our education facilities didn't.
Yeah, I appreciate that Odyssey does. I know my husband was not off work, but it's funny. I think kids are off. They have all these half days, and some other days that they get off just seem really silly to me. I actually think Veterans Day would be a good day for them to take off in exchange for one of the other silly days they get.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. But we're back at work today. And you know what? It's already we're almost halfway through November, which means, ladies and gentlemen, I have a plea to make for you. If you have not bought a ticket yet, a raffle ticket or tickets to my first responder Thanksgiving ATF raffle, I'm going to ask that you do that today. I'm going to ask you probably again every day between now and the end of the month. But we have fabulous prizes. I was so thrilled to find out yesterday. You know who was at Mar-a-Lago celebrating Donald Trump's victory last week?
Well, a bunch of people. Who are you referring to?
I'm talking about the great one. Do you know who I'm referring to when I say the great one, Kim?
Are you talking about Wayne Gretzky?
I am. She got it. I didn't know if you'd get that or not. The great one. The greatest hockey player of my lifetime anyway, that I know of, Wayne Gretzky, who set all the records. So in the bourbon raffle that's going to happen during the ATF raffle, look what I have. I have a bottle of Wayne Gretzky, his Canadian whiskey called Wayne Gretzky number 99, a red cask, which is finished off in red wine cask barrels. And this is pretty cool. And it's one of the many bottles that we're going to be auctioning off, courtesy of my friend Tom.
You can only get that in Canada, by the way.
Oh, eh. Thank you, eh. So I got a bottle of that you can only get in Canada. I got a gold Blanton's that with the little horse on top is gold. It's fantastic. If you haven't tried it, I got a bottle of a Midwinter's Night Dram. All of this is going to be in the bourbon basket that you have a chance of winning. Plus, there's a gun, and then there's the evening at Lit Cigar Lounge, courtesy of the folks at Lit and the Range St. Louis West. And, I mean, everybody just chips in to make this thing a success. Three big winners, and the winner of the bourbon basket, I got to tell you, on top of that, you're going to get a signed Blues jersey from Robert Thomas just as a kicker. So it's going to be fantastic. Go to your phone and text responder to 33100. It's easy to remember. 33100 takes you right to the page. If you're in the Range St. Louis West, you can go in there and buy tickets. However you get tickets, there's even a link on our website at 971talk.com. And we're going to draw the winner the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. So you've got a couple weeks left, but we need to ramp it up here a little bit, because all of the money goes to Responder Rescue, the charity, to take care of our first responders who are in need. So thank you for that. We'll talk more about it a little bit later when we honor one of our local police departments. Tell you what, did you see some of the exit polling? We got some new numbers on some of the exit polling, and this was a complete and utter and total repudiation of Kamala Harris and Joe Biden's policies the last 4 years. We knew that from the red wave. It's becoming more obvious now that the numbers are coming out, and I'm going to get to some of that for you here in just a couple of minutes. A little later, we're going to get to John Lampick in the bottom of the hour, talk about what's going on maybe in statewide politics right now in Missouri, where there's going to be a debate, a vote, I hope, over leadership in the House. We'll talk more about that for you coming up here shortly. But first, let's get to our top stories.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
How should we deal with those neighbors, coworkers, family members who voted for him?
I know there's nobody in the sound of my voice related to Jonathan Capehart, but just so you know, he's trying to figure out ways to ignore you but still love you if you voted for Trump.
Should Justice Sotomayor step down to allow President Biden to appoint someone who's younger?
No, I don't.
Yeah, Bernie Sanders defending Justice Sotomayor. He's like, hey, we need to stop trying to get her to resign. Do they not remember Ruth Bader Ginsburg? Donald Trump could end up getting 3 seats to pick on the United States Supreme Court this time around.
Easiest and most effective form of protest you have right now that you can start immediately, put a mask back on.
I got to be honest with you, Kim. I already stereotype people I see wearing masks as being Biden supporters anyway, or Harris supporters. I don't know why. That's probably not fair. There are probably people out there that legitimately want to wear a diaper on their face for health reasons. But I got to tell you, I've already got you in that category. So she's not helping herself here.
President Trump has made it clear. We will prioritize public safety threats and national security threats first.
Yep, that's Tom Homan. The man is a bulldog, can I just tell you that? And he is going to be a real border czar. He's going to be the definition of a real border czar. You know what a border czar says? Tough. You shouldn't have broken into our country. You're going to pay the consequences. You violated the law. You're going to pay the consequences. Here he was recently, Carl, if my computer's up over here. Here he was on 60 Minutes, where they didn't like what he was selling either.
We have seen one estimate that says it would cost $88 billion to deport 1 million people a year.
I don't know if that's accurate or not.
Is that what American taxpayers should expect?
What price do you put on national security? Is it worth it?
Is there a way to carry out mass deportation without separating families?
Of course there is. Families can be deported together.
Probably not the answer she was expecting.
That was not what 60 Minutes wanted to hear. We don't have to separate them. If you came to this country, married a citizen for the sole purpose of thinking it would protect you, and then you had anchor babies thinking that too would protect you, we'll just send all of you back. How about that? And that way, we don't have to argue about separation. Mm-hmm. The separation issue goes away. It's your family. You chose to put yourself in that situation. Nobody else forced you to get married or to have children when you got here. When you knew you had broken the law to get here, you're gone.
Mm-hmm. How many illegals do you think are already considering going back home because it's just simply not worth it when Trump takes office and he starts enforcing this? And Tom Homan does.
I saw a suggestion on social media this weekend. I won't take credit for it, where somebody said that if Trump should create one of those little videos that he's been making, and he should say, here's the deal. It is November 12th. I take office on January 20th. If you self-deport between now and then, you will be allowed to then apply to legally come back into the country. But if we have to catch you and deport you, you will never, ever be allowed to come into this country again.
I like that.
And that would be a little carrot on the end of a stick to say, you screwed up. Here's a little chance to make it right. Leave now and formally, legally apply to get back in, and we'll consider you.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't, you're out.
By the way, I love that idea, and I think that's smart. And I wonder how our friend Evelyn thinks. You know, we interviewed her, I think it was a couple weeks ago, and she came over from where, Mark?
Liberia.
And man, she was so passionate about this issue of illegal immigration because she did it the right way, worked her butt off to provide for her family. And I'm so thrilled for her that now she has Trump in office who's going to take care of a lot of these people who just thought they could hop a fence and, oh, boom, here's your debit card preloaded.
I should have read this last week. Evelyn sent me a text last Wednesday, the day after the election. If you missed our interview with Evelyn, I'm sure you can go find it on the podcast from the show.
And one of my favorite interviews we've done,
honestly,
by the way.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, I think I posted it up on Facebook as well, a link to it. Here's what Evelyn, she's from Liberia. She's been here 16 years. She's achieved the American dream. She's pissed off at people that cheat to get in the country. And she's been driving Uber to make ends meet. She says, congratulations, Mark. We did it. We did it. I'm so proud of you and your crew. You guys worked tirelessly. Amazing how everything turned out. I couldn't sleep. I was awaiting the final result. It happened. I'm so happy. I have my American flag flying this morning. USA, USA, USA. And she put little American flags at the end of her comment.
I love that.
Isn't that awesome?
It gives me chills.
Yeah. And I realized here that I meant to reply to her last week, and I forgot to hit the send button. So, Evelyn, I apologize for that. I don't know if she's up this early or not. Let's get to a quick break here. We're going to be back in just a minute. We'll talk more about some of the exit polling and how really badly Kamala Harris took a swing and a miss in this election cycle. We'll be back in just a minute.
I can't get over these numbers. $10 million for Beyonce.
What?
To step up and back Kamala Harris publicly. $5 million for Megan Thee Stallion. $3 million for Lizzo. $1.8 million for Eminem.
What?
Is that normally how it goes? You spend 20...
Hold on.
That was a guy on the internet listening to Fox News reporting on how much the Kamala Harris campaign had to pay to get celebrity endorsements in this country.
I can understand paying a celebrity to perform at your rally, but paying a celebrity, and I know Trump did this, but paying a celebrity to endorse you just seems phony. I really value authenticity, and that's ridiculous. You should not be able to say you're endorsing a candidate if it cost him $5 million to get you to show up and say, I'm voting for Kamala Harris, and I think you should too.
If they truly supported her, they wouldn't want any money. I can't imagine.
Wait, Trump didn't pay you for your vote? He paid me.
Did he pay Elon Musk? He couldn't afford Elon Musk, for God's sake. Or Rogan,
no.
Or any of the rest of them. None of those people took money for their appearances.
Did you see, by the way, it came out more with what Joe Rogan was saying happened with the Kamala Harris? Well, it didn't happen in the interview. Remember, he was saying that not only was she saying you have to come to me and it's only going to be an hour instead of 3 hours, but apparently her campaign sent certain topics that were off limits that
sure.
He couldn't talk about. And
yeah.
They were asking if it was going to be edited. And he comes back and says, look, I don't edit. OK, we do a 3 hour show and we air it in its entirety.
Rolls. Yeah,
it rolls.
You. Yeah, they were worried with good reason. Well, here's some of the exit polling that I thought was pretty interesting. You know, they talked about women and how important the women vote was. And I get that for Kamala Harris, but it was supposed to be overwhelming. In the exit polling, 40% of women under 30 voted for Trump instead of Harris. So almost half of these people, then Gen Z, supported Donald Trump. I mean, that's not what the media was telling you, that it was going to be overwhelming. 40% of women under 30 voted for now president-elect Donald Trump, according to the Daily Mail on Sunday, citing Associated Press exit polling. Trump's huge rally with young women helped secure the largest portion of voters under 30 than any Republican candidate since 2008. She tried to win their votes with appearances on Call Her Daddy and other podcasts like that and celebrities. I don't know if she paid Taylor Swift and Beyonce. However, their efforts were not enough. No, they weren't enough at all. I mean, it's a little bit embarrassing. Now, here's something that's not going to be a surprise. Support for abortion measures outpaced support for Kamala Harris. We saw that right here. Breitbart is reporting this. While 7 abortion amendments passed and 3 failed, support for these ballot measures outpaced support for Kamala Harris, who made abortion rights a hallmark of her campaign, according to CBS News. And we saw that in Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
Donald Trump wins overwhelmingly. All the Republicans statewide win overwhelmingly. Somehow, abortion, which is supposed to be people that support abortion, are supposed to be Harris voters, still voted for Trump. So go. That's a head scratcher to me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who those people are, but there's clearly a lot of closet abortion supporters out there.
Yeah, but again, I just think that it was so the wording, at least here in Missouri, was so deceiving. I don't know how it was in the other states, like Florida, for example. But here in Missouri, I just wonder if people would have been, if the way that ballot would have been phrased was the way that Jay Ashcroft intended it to be, I bet you that would not have passed.
Well, with IP reform, it wouldn't have passed. And
for
we're going to talk to the man who rode that horse as long as he could in the United States Senate or the Missouri Senate. Bill Igel coming up here at about 8:35 this morning. You know, he's been kind of out of the limelight since he lost in the gubernatorial primary. But I'm anxious to pick his brain on what he thinks happens next. I mean, the person who was one of two people to decide whether or not IP reform got a vote is now the leader of the Missouri Senate. What are the odds anything gets done this year? Certainly nothing conservative with Cindy O'Loughlin in charge, I'm afraid. We'll find out what Bill Igel thinks about that at 8:35. Stay tuned. John Lamping coming up in just a couple minutes. We'll be right back.
Not just cautiously optimistic, but nauseously optimistic. The real focus now is on that blue wall in the Midwest. They knew that this was going to be a long night and that it was going to be a real nail biter, and it appears that that is exactly what we're looking at right now.
We've been saying for weeks, says O'Malley-Dillon, quote, that this race might not be called tonight. Those of you who were around in 2020 know this well. What we do know is this race is not going to come into focus until the early morning hours.
Part of the objective of this email is to say to the people on the team, hang in there, guys. Like, it's not over. We're still getting votes in. We still need to keep talking to people, keep people in lines, tell your grandma it's going to be okay.
We now have an NBC News call in the first one, Joy. North Carolina called for Donald Trump.
Yep, and so it was, you know,
we now have all the vote in Luzerne County. Donald Trump is going to win this by a little bit more than 21 points. 4 years ago, it was 14. We also saw him make those gains in Lackawanna County right next door earlier tonight. Democrats wanted more Trump, more of a Trump drop-off here. They don't get it in Lebanon County tonight. In 2020, Joe Biden won here by essentially 27 points. Sits at about 24 and a half.
Take you back a week. I just wanted to take you back a week and listen to some of the media try to explain this away as state after state after state fell for Donald Trump. And we welcome in former State Senator John Lamping, who spent the evening down here on the air with Mark Reardon and did a great job for us that night. Mark, how are you? Or John, how are you? Sorry.
I'm doing great. Good morning. Well, clearly it was too big to rig.
Yeah.
And It's morning in Missouri, but it's morning in America. And I, like the two of you, am thrilled with the outcome last Tuesday.
Yeah, kind of been floating on air since then, no doubt about it. You know, I didn't even venture to guess that it would be a 312-vote landslide, as some people did, including Mark Walters, who I'll have on next hour. But, you know, there is a mandate here, and I just read the statistic earlier, and I think we're obviously well aware of it here. The abortion issue did much better than Kamala Harris did around the country. Wherever it was on the ballot, it outvoted Kamala Harris. People went and voted for abortion, but against Kamala Harris.
Well, we had a guest priest at my church on Sunday. He might as well be a political commentator. He was fantastic on both the election and this issue. And he described the outcome as that the country rejected socialism, having experienced it for the last 4 years, in particular during the COVID lockdowns. And we chose in favor of peace, prosperity, and freedom, which is a good message. And Americans are you know, inclined to be attracted to that message. But for the first time in decades, what was not in the Republican Party platform was any mention of right to life. And in this priest's mind, he feels as if the Republican Party has now cast aside right to life. It doesn't need it anymore. It, if anything, feels it's a liability. And when you think about here in Missouri, we had all of our statewide candidates. We had Josh Hawley of the U.S. Senate, and none of them actively campaigned against Amendment 3. So clearly, the Right to Life movement is on its own now. There's not a political party that wants to pick it up and carry that ball. Obviously, the Democrats are the worst of the two. But Republicans have decided that they're going to move on away from that issue. They don't need right to life anymore. And it feels as if right to life has gone the way of gay marriage and other liberal things that the Republican Party has ultimately accepted.
I understand why a lot of the Republicans wanted to steer clear of that issue, but it makes me sad. I'm frustrated that Mike Parson didn't speak out more on this, especially since it's not like he was running for re-election. He had nothing to lose by speaking out on that. I'm curious. Obviously, I know this is now enshrined into our state constitution, so it's not going to be a simple fix, even for lawmakers. Well, they can't do anything, but I'm wondering, is there any little thing that could be passed by lawmakers that might have an effect on this?
No, Kim, actually, there's some very big things that, and the path that the Right to Life movement will now pursue will be to go the way of defining the unborn child as an actual person. I think what Missouri should do is they should put a very simple ballot initiative in front of the people the next time we have a chance to vote. And the initiative would simply ask the basic question, is an unborn child a person? I think, can you imagine trying to to organize a campaign against answering that question in the affirmative? Once that's been determined and enshrined in our Constitution, then simply we go to court to say that, you know, the equal protections under the law as offered to all of us citizens in the 14th Amendment are at odds with Missouri's Constitution, meaning we've defined the unborn child as a person, and then sitting in the same Constitution is this right to an abortion. And I think that's the path that Right to Life is going to go down. And I think it won't be just in Missouri. I think it'll be in other parts across the state. It's a long fight. You know, the fight against Roe v. Wade was 50 plus years. But I think that's the way to go. I think the idea of putting an anti-abortion measure back on the ballot, clearly the culture has moved. And a majority of people, if given the opportunity, will vote for abortion. I'm grateful for the fact that the amendment didn't pass in Florida, but it only didn't pass because the threshold was so high.
Right.
We're all fans of IP reform before this initiative came forward, but I would suggest we don't reform IP, and we simply ask the question, is an unborn child a person? And if the threshold is 50, I think we'll get well above 50.
Yeah.
And I think we go and fight this fight in the courts from there.
Didn't I hear it's around $9 million to get something on the ballot, and we'd have to wait another 4 years, right?
No, actually, no. The legislature can put anything they want on the ballot. It costs nothing. We're already paying them.
Yeah, they just pass it in the legislature, and if the governor signs it, it goes on the.
Okay, so we don't have to go through the same process that they went through to get this on the ballot. Okay, well, that's great news.
Yeah, it is. Hey, before we run out of time, John, I wanted to ask about the Justin Sparks challenging John Patterson as Speaker of the House. We're going to have Justin on the air here at the top of the hour in the next hour. How does the process work down there? I mean, they've already kind of decided on their leadership, haven't they, even though they haven't all voted on it?
Well, what they do is they kind of stage the speakership. So traditionally, whoever is elected to floor leader in his third term is the one that's in line to be the speaker in their fourth term. It's very much a rigged game. I would say the minute that someone walks into the Capitol as a freshman is when the lobbyists and the powers that be are trying to decide who's actually going to be the speaker at the end of their 8-year term. And if I had a vote, I'd vote for Justin. I'm rooting for him to do well. I'd be shocked if he's successful. The system is so rigged. And primarily by the lobbyists that we, you know, every speaker we've had has to run through that gauntlet of both fundraising from the lobbyists and then carrying enough of their legislation to get the approval that they would be allowed to be speaker. And so that's how it works. It's very much a rigged game. It's I have, with the exception of Tim Jones, I have very little time for what speakers have to say, because what they're mostly doing is juggling the lobbyists and the interests of those of us at home, and usually the lobbyists are the top priority.
Right. Yeah. I wondered what his odds are. I appreciate your thoughts on it there. And again, we're going to get to him here at about 7:22 this morning and get his thoughts on why he's running and what, if anything, we can do, and those of us who support him, to try to change the minds of some of the legislators down in Jeff City.
I'll be listening.
John, thank you.
Talk to you soon.
All right. Bye. Yeah, appreciate that. John Lamping there joining us. And yeah, he thinks it's a long shot. And it probably is, right?
Yeah.
Because they decide in advance who their leadership is going to be the next year. And the actual vote is sort of an afterthought, it seems like. So it's an uphill battle. But I'm glad to see Justin standing up and saying, you know, this is something we need to pay attention to. I think he would be so much better at that than Patterson. So we'll get to him at 7:20. I promise you that. Todd Pyro, host of Fox and Friends at the top of the hour. Up next, we're going to get to In Other News with Ethan. Stay tuned.
Happening. Oh, you know the thing.
What the hell is going on?
In Other News.
It appears veteran journalist Chris Wallace is leaving CNN after more than 2 years with plans to shift to an independent streaming or podcast platform. CNN confirmed Wallace's departure, and CEO Mark Thompson praised him as a respected political journalist with a diverse media career.
We should have gone back and found the audio file of me arguing with Wallace over January 6th. I was so happy when he left Fox, and now, I mean, his show at CNN failed, and then they had him on as a commentator because they had him there during the election. But I'm not surprised to see him jumping ship again. Yeah. I don't know why. He might as well just retire.
I don't know where he goes.
He is 77.
Yeah, he's getting up there. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Maybe you can make that podcast thing work.
Uh-huh.
Maybe Sue chimes in. How are you, Sue?
I'm fine. How are you?
So good to see you on Sunday.
It was nice to see you.
Country artist Shaboozey, he's fresh off winning the People's Choice Country Award for New Artist and receiving 6 Grammy nominations, is going to be performing at the Detroit Lions Thanksgiving halftime show against the Chicago Bears. So something to look forward to, I guess, if you like Shaboozey.
He has a second song now, by
Shaboozey.
The song of Tip, what's it called?
Tipsy.
Tipsy.
Yeah. I do like that song. It's
a bar
catchy.
Song.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
My daughter loves it. I thought there was a female artist
who was supposed to perform there as well. Is it just him?
That's just for the halftime. Maybe they're doing something like the opening or something.
There are 3 games that.
Yeah. I'm sure somebody else is performing there. Always is. Mattel is apologizing after mistakenly printing the website of a pornographic site on the packaging of its new Wicked movie dolls. Social media users quickly noticed the error, causing the dolls to trend online, and Mattel acknowledged the mistake and advised customers to discard or obscure the link on the packaging. So just take a Sharpie to it,
so the kids can't see it, I guess. Yeah. Huh? Yeah, go to wickedmovie.com, not the other one.
We're not giving that one out, Mark.
Oh, my.
It was wickedmovie.com is the right one, right?
Correct.
Okay.
It is wickedmovie.com.
You don't have to use your imagination.
And I will say this again. Everyone who's really excited to see the Wicked movie, which I'm going to see on Sunday, it is part one.
Yes.
They are not telling you that this is part one. It's going to end with the first act of the play and then...
Intermission for 2 years.
Yeah. No,
Only a year.
1 year.
Yeah, okay. It premieres on the 22nd of this month.
Was it just too long, or are they just trying to make more money off of it?
It's the whole play. So, you know, it's a 3-hour play, so they cut it into, you know, 2-hour and 45-minute movies.
Well, how long's Les Mis? They didn't cut that into 2 movies.
No, they didn't.
That's a fair point.
I'm just saying.
But
that's the
best marketing thing. Of all the, you've seen all these marketing things for Wicked. Mm-hmm. The best marketing thing is not telling people that it's part one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I saw some hotel that decked out one of the rooms to be Wicked themed.
Pink or green?
And you can, I think it was, well, maybe they were both. I mean, I'm sure the amount you'd have to pay per night would be through the roof. But if you're a big Wicked fan, I'm sure people would be willing to fork over the money.
Yeah. People pay for everything. After 157 years, Leinenkugel beer will no longer be brewed in Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin. Production is moving to the Molson Coors larger facility in Milwaukee due to recent improvements in the canning line. The Chippewa Falls Brewery, which employed 120 people, is expected to close in January, impacting the local community with the loss of a brand deeply tied to the town's identity since 1867. Although brewing will shift location, Molson Coors plans to keep the Liney Lodge, it's still going to be open, so if you want to go visit that.
As long as they keep making Summer Shandy.
I do love Summer Shandy. Yeah.
Well, how many of those iconic brands are no longer made where it says they were on the label originally,
exactly.
Right? I don't know. They just moved them. The technology changes. I hate to see that, though.
I don't really care where they're made. I just want to make sure that they're still making them.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like certain local giant breweries were buying up all the small ones real quick. So,
but it's staying in the United States.
It is staying here. That's good. Costco, this is such a dumb story. Costco is recalling 80,000 pounds of Kirkland Signature butter because the packaging failed to indicate that it contains milk, which is an allergen.
It's butter.
Thank you, Mark.
This is the FDA. This is the FDA at work. Of all the stupid things that they do, this is just yet another one. Have I told you guys I think that the FDA sucks? Have I made that clear?
To know that butter comes from milk, there's sort of the Darwin theory at work here. I'm sorry. I don't know.
But margarine does not.
Right.
Well, butter's better for you than margarine.
Sure.
Well, remember, a lot of the dietitians were saying the opposite. I remember as a kid eating butter, and all my friends would eat margarine, and they're saying, well, that's better for you. No, it's not.
Wait till RFK takes over. He's going to ban margarine. You watch.
I'm just kidding.
Go ahead.
Following Donald Trump's recent election win, many Americans are again expressing interest in moving to Canada, a trend previously seen in 2016. Google searches for how to move to Canada surged on election night. Reflecting concerns about Trump's leadership and broader sociological issues. Searches spiked from terms like cost to move to Canada, moving to Canada requirements, and jobs in Canada for Americans.
Not which aren't many. They have a stronger immigration laws than we do. Unless you play hockey.
They will take
you. That's a great point. But there aren't too many of those, right? But
no.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Gen Z is set to lead the holiday spending this season, with 28% planning to spend at least $1,000 or more on any other age group. According to this is ShipStation survey, despite many relying on family financial support, Gen Z will all be willing to pay for faster shipping and expects quick delivery, contrasting with older generations who prefer free shipping. So Gen Z is going to spend more money that they don't have.
Didn't I read where a bunch of people were canceling their Amazon accounts because Amazon Prime, because Bezos made that decision not to endorse Harris. So to my wife's point, you're just going to pay more for all the things you order from Amazon. You're not going to stop ordering from Amazon. You're just going to pay more for shipping.
Well, maybe for like a month, and then they'll miss it and go right back.
That's the only reason you pay for Prime, is just to get the shipping.
But you get Amazon Prime, though, with it, right? Or is that...
Yeah.
It's really not a bad deal.
I can't tell you how much I'm enjoying watching this meltdown. I just have to say. All right, coming up, we're going to talk to Missouri State Rep Justin Sparks, who's challenging for House Speaker in Missouri. We're also going to get to Todd Pyro. We'll be right back.
Get more at 971talk.com.